It's usually a process that that sort of starts about a couple of months before we go out into the field. The federal government says that they want all of the coalitions and all of the organizations who are collecting this data to do it in the last week of January. So usually a couple of months prior to that, we begin to recruit volunteers, and really that is the core of the survey. Getting those volunteers becomes critical. We couldn't do it without them. And so a couple of months prior, we'll do that recruitment. We'll be contacting every one of the agencies in Washington and Benton County, remind them that, hey, it's the 2 years are up, we're coming again. And then we'll spend some time with them, reminding them what we do, why we do it, and how we're going to do it. And train the interviewers and get out into the field. And essentially what we do is we sort of drop this net over Benton and Washington County for a 24-hour period. And in that 24-hour period, we send these teams of volunteers out into these different locations interviewing adults in soup kitchens, day centers, shelters, clothing closets, wherever organizations are directly serving the homeless, we have a team of volunteers there.
And any night in Northwest Arkansas, more than 2,000 people are homeless?
On any given night in Northwest Arkansas, I guess that the number is significantly more than 2,000 people. However, that 2,001 number for the 2011 count represents a snapshot of that 24-hour period that we were able to actually interview people. We've certainly missed people. While the school counts are usually pretty accurate because they have to submit monthly reports and of course they're very good about doing that. I think we miss a lot of persons in this process. And the persons that we miss, I think actually it's a little bit reflected in this new census. Because if you look carefully at this new census, there are a couple of things that are telling us that the invisible are getting a little bit more visible, but they're still invisible to us mostly. And two things. One, I think we see more families this time in the 2011 census than we have seen in any other. And they tend to be pretty invisible.
And when you say families, that's as opposed to individuals.
Yes,
so
which is the majority, you know, and is typically the majority of the homeless person in America is single. But I also think that we see an enormous amount of growth, not only in our census, but likely in others around the country in kids and families with kids. And again, I say that they tend to be invisible because if you look at the data that's collected from the schools, what we know about those kids is that well over 80% are doubling up with friends and relatives. They're not on the street. They're not in shelters. They're not in places where we're actually going. The only way that we happen to capture any piece of that population, that doubling up population, is if they are showing up at a shelter because they need clothing or they need food or they're having a meal. But generally, these are not the folks who are actually residing in those shelters, or for that matter, are the ones that are using the services mostly. Invisible.
And one thing you found out, which I guess wasn't a surprise, but there are still services that are underservicing the homeless population, including transportation and things like that.
Definitely. You know, and without question, I mean, the medical service continues to be a problem for homeless around the country. And so I'm not surprised when we look at the relationship between what we're doing here and who's being served and who isn't. I'm actually a little bit surprised that the gap between those who needed it and those who got medical service was relatively small. I mean, that gap, there was a fair number of people who said that they needed it and that they, in fact, got it. So Fayetteville Free Clinic, Community Clinic, you know, wherever else, VA, they're finding those medical services. But the most important problem, and this is one that resonates also around the country, is the dental service. There is no dental service for homeless, but also we also know that low-income poverty folks generally have no access to dental services. But the gap is nearly six times that. Mm-hmm. That is, those people who need it compared to those who are receiving it. And and that gap in services absolutely needs to be closed. And part of it has to do with the fact that to some extent, you'll hear many people in healthcare talk about how critical the mouth is to the rest of the body.
Well, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, if your mouth is infected and your teeth are in such disrepair that you can't chew, you can't eat, or you eat the wrong kinds of things, and so that it can be a precursor to a whole range of other physical issues.
Heart disease, yeah. Stroke.
Diabetes. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole range of and we also know that this population is at risk for many of those generally to begin with, those chronic issues. And so with oral health being as poor as it is, I think it creates a sort of a double whammy.
The awareness of that seems to be much more in its infancy than the awareness of the need for medical attention.
Yeah.
And so there's
I think that it's coming. We're not just Northwest Arkansas, but many places around the country, I think, are beginning to realize that. And my hope is that we'll begin to find ways to address that.
We have gone through a brutal recession that has cost people jobs. We're looking at a Congress that's going to cut spending, and where still has to be figured out. This seems to be a critical time for homeless population and for services for people who need them.
Because you're right. What's happening is the population's growing and the services are shrinking. It's not just the nonprofits, but it's the other group that is significantly being impacted are the faith-based organizations that oftentimes fill a gap. Their budgets are being decimated as well. So that it is funding that impacts cities and to a lesser extent nonprofits at the federal level. And then, you know, it's just giving. Philanthropy continues to suffer during economic times. And I think that there's a series of interaction effects that are going to impact homeless, not so much at this moment in 2011, but I think it's going to have a lagged effect, and we'll see this continue to get worse over the next couple of years.
Preliminary reports you've kind of put out, overviews this winter. There will be a much more detailed report coming out soon.
Yeah, hopefully by, in the next month or so, we'll have a report that will look at comprehensively, we'll look at the circumstances, the service issues, a whole range of other issues and problems that we try and address in that interview with these homeless adults. In the next couple of months, we should be able to compile that and make it available to not only the general public, but we primarily do that as a service to the service providers so that they can better understand not only who their population is, but what their population needs.
Kevin Fitzpatrick, thank you for your time.
Thank you.